Hi, I'm Kip Laxon, and I welcome you to this podcast of Faith Matters Today. And here we are in Holy Week. And Holy Week is the last week of Jesus' earthly life prior to his crucifixion. There's much speculation about what Jesus did. We can look at the gospel accounts and see what Jesus did that Holy Week. It's hard to make it exact. We know that he spent some time in the temple teaching. We know that he spent some time with some friends of his in the little village of Bethany. We also know, more famously, that this is the week where Jesus went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done, O God." As the apostles napped and slept, he was frustrated that they would not stay awake and pray with him. We also know that this is the week where Jesus was betrayed by one of his original 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver, and that Jesus would be arrested and taken into custody and ultimately would be crucified on that first Good Friday. I think the question before us for this Holy Week is this: what makes Good Friday good? Why do we call it Good Friday? Because what happened on that Good Friday was anything but good, at least that we would associate with that word. Jesus being betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends, being beaten within an inch of his life, a crown of thorns crushed upon his brow, mocked and made fun of by the Roman soldiers, and then forced to carry at least a part of his cross out to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of crucifixion, where he was nailed to a cross and hoisted high in the air and left there hanging to die on that first Good Friday. What makes that good? Well, Good Friday is identified as Good Friday because of the final words of Jesus that we will consider during this Lenten season that come from the 19th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Hear these words from St. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 34 from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. These are the words of Holy Scripture from St. John's Gospel, chapter 19. Thanks be to God. That isn't good, what is described for us in such gory detail from the 19th chapter of St. John. But what makes Good Friday good are those three powerful words that Jesus utters from the cross: "It is finished." He also said, before saying that, that he was thirsty. And we see that image of them offering him a sponge of wine. This was an ancient practice of a kind of killing the pain in some ways. It was common for them to do this, the Romans to do this at the time of crucifixion, but it really didn't satiate his thirst in any way. But the powerful words, Jesus' proclamation, "It is finished." Good Friday is a time of completion. Things are now completed. They are now fulfilled. That's what makes Good Friday good. Think of it this way. For approximately 3 years, Jesus had been doing the work that God had sent him to do on this earth. They came to culmination in his crucifixion. And for 6 hours, Jesus in agony on the cross. For 3 hours, the world had been covered in the cloud of darkness. But now Jesus utters these words, perhaps the greatest words he would speak in his earthly life. It is finished. And at the approximate age of 33, when most people were saying, things are just beginning, my life is just now taking off, I'm just now beginning to climb that ladder of success, Jesus declares right the opposite. It is finished. You know, we've all started things that we didn't finish. Projects and perhaps careers or jobs. Things take a different turn. Life has its twists and turns, its ups and downs. But Jesus is saying in these words, it is finished, that he has completed what he set out to do. I want to look a little closer as we consider the power of this message on that first Good Friday, of what Jesus was actually declaring to be finished in these ominous dying words from the cross. The first is this. Jesus is saying in those words, it is finished, that the pain of suffering was finished. Jesus was no stranger to suffering, though he knew what it was to be rejected by his friends and by his family. He knew what it was, what the cost involved was to speak truth to power, as he did so often, calling for justice in the world of injustice around him. And now the crucifixion, which was the cruelest form of punishment, perhaps in the history of the world. But when Jesus said, it is finished, that meant that no one will ever again spit in his face. Never again will his beard be plucked from his jaws. Never again will he be taunted, mocked, or scorned. Never again will a crown of thorns be pushed down upon his head. Never again will a spear be thrust into his side. Never again will a spike be driven through his hands and feet. His pain of suffering was finished. This was a very personal proclamation that Jesus makes on the cross when he cries out, it is finished. The pain of suffering, his pain of suffering was finished. But there's something else that was finished. Jesus was also speaking of something much broader, and that is that the plan of redemption was finished. Yes, his pain of suffering was finished. All that he had been involved in and that had brought him to this moment of the gruesome crucifixion was finished, but the plan of redemption was also finished. This is seen in the word itself, finished. It's a Greek word, and that Greek word is spelled T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I, tetelestai, is a very common word in the time of Jesus. Jesus was not using a word that was foreign or in any sense obscure. It was a word that was used in common reference by servants and slaves in Jesus' time. When a master would order his servant to do something and the servant had completed that work, he would come back and say, finished, tetelestai. It was also used by artists. When an artist was finished with a painting or a sculpture, and the last drop of paint had been applied, the last stroke had been made, or the last chisel had been hit or polished, and would step back and say, finished. That's what Jesus is alluding to on the cross when he declares, it's finished. I think it also is captured in St. John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 4, when Jesus says, prior to his crucifixion, I have glorified you, referring to God, on the earth, and I have finished the work that you, God, have given me to do. In that moment, that cry from the cross, it is finished, Jesus was saying, I have completed what God the Father has sent me here to do. The bridge between deity and humanity, the bridge between the finite and the infinite, the bridge between God and humankind has now been repaired. that which had broken down for so long because of our own selfishness, our own sin, our own shortcomings, our humanity, if you will. That has now been repaired. It has now been restored. The artist, Jesus, has completed the picture. The sculpture, Jesus, has finished the project. He has done what God had sent him here to do. The pain of suffering was finished. The plan of redemption was finished. Never again will a Redeemer have to die in our place to restore us to right relationship with God. Never again will God send His Son here to do this work. It has been done. It is finished. Jesus declared it so. But there's something else. Not only when Jesus says, "It is finished," was He saying, "The pain of my suffering is finished. The plan of redemption is finished." But Jesus was also saying that the power of Satan, the power of evil itself, was finished. Back in the early days of our country, when trains were the new mode of transportation, people dreamed about a great railroad that would connect the East and the West in these United States. They dreamed about somehow connecting the shores of the Atlantic with the shores of the Pacific. Well, that dream, of course, was conceived in the mind of so many, and the engineers then set out to make that a reality. They started laying the ribbons of steel, the ribbons of the tracks together. They started from the west, and then they started from the east, and the closer and closer they crept until over an extended period of time, which would seem to us in our day now to be a long time, but for them, it was relatively short, until where these two tracks that had been started laying out in the east and then in the west met at the New Mexico and Arizona border, and these ribbons of steel came together. There was a great ceremony. Both the governors of those states of New Mexico and Arizona came together. One of the governors had a silver hammer in his hand, and the other had a golden spike. The last spike that would be driven into the ground connecting this great train track that would now connect the country from east to west. With much pomp and circumstance, one of the governors took the silver hammer, and while the other governor held the golden spike and drove that last spike down, connecting this great rail. When it was cinched up and the rails were connected, the people gave out a shout and much applause, and there was a wireless message that was sent via telegraph back to Washington, D.C., to the President of the United States to say, and this telegraph said, quote, "It is finished. East and West have been reconciled and brought together." When Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," it was as if He was driving that last golden spike into that great connection between humankind and God. You see, those words, "It is finished," are about divine reconciliation. Christ has reconciled the world to Himself and brought humankind in all of our idiosyncrasies and shortcomings, all of our problems and pain. In the reconciliation of Christ upon the cross, humankind and God have been restored, brought back together. They have been reconciled. Yes, His suffering is over. The plan of redemption was complete. But the power of evil to separate us, the power of death itself to separate humankind from God, that had now been erased. Reconciliation within the cross of Christ brings us back together again. And Jesus declared from His cross that that work had been completed. The reconciliation of God and humankind was complete. Lifted up was He to die. "It is finished," was His cry. "Now in heaven exalted high." Hallelujah! What a Savior! The cry of completion from the cross of Christ should translate into our cry of Alleluias on Easter because of what happened on Good Friday we are able to shout hallelujah on the glories of Easter. What a Savior. The reconciliation has been done. We are restored to right relationship with God. I want to wish you and your family, your friends, a glorious Easter. And as we walk through the dark shadows of this Holy Week, we do so with tongue in cheek, knowing that at the end, there is the glorious light of the promise of new life. Easter is about new life, not just new outfits and clothes that we tend to wear on Easter, not just the new spring of flowers and bunnies and eggs that are all a part of our Eastertide and its celebration, but the new life in Christ that is offered us. And that new life is ours. Why? Because Christ knows what it is to suffer. Christ also knows what it is to finish what he started. And Christ knows what it is to restore us to right relationship with a living and a loving God. Easter is about restoration. It is about redemption. It is about reconciliation. And all of that is seen in the promise of new life yet made to us in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Reach out and claim that new life. That new life is possible because of the gruesome details of Good Friday, translated into the glorious new life made for us on that Easter Sunday. I want to encourage you to join us for Good Friday worship at 7:30. Also Maundy Thursday, if you are in the area and would like to be a part of that. And then on Easter Sunday at 8:45 and 11 a.m., there'll be so many worship services happening here to celebrate the glories of Easter. And we'd like for you to be with us either through the live stream and our website and or in-person services here at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church. I wish you a happy Easter and all the glories that attain to that and are promised to us throughout these next few weeks as we celebrate Christmastide, or rather as we celebrate Eastertide. Know this, that Easter is not the culmination of Holy Week. It is the beginning. Easter isn't over on Easter Sunday, as so many people think. Rather, that's the beginning. It's the new beginning of Eastertide that carries on in the weeks yet to follow. So be a part of all that God is doing in promising, offering, and giving this new life to us that is yours and mine through the power of Jesus Christ. I thank Brett Smith and Ed Temple for making this podcast possible. Pass it along to your friends and family. And I'll look forward to something brand new in this podcast as we move into all that God has for us in this year, post-Easter in 2023. I'll look forward to seeing you after Easter in this podcast. God bless you.